Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. Thanks for joining me here today. This episode will be the companion piece to the written post, Shamanic Rites, A Quick Guide. Subtitle, and an invitation to collaborate and be featured. So once again, thanks for joining me. This is a companion piece where I'm going to be going into some of the details and describing what goes on, what makes shamanic rites different than just a normal writing prompt, and what makes this work important in your life, in recovery, in the healing from mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical disease. And as this episode is a companion one to the written post, I will once again give credit to my editor, the talented and beautiful Dr. Dana Lee Lyons, my wife, where you can find her work on Substack over at Sober Soulful. So thank you once again, my love. And so this Shamanic Rites is going to be one of the focuses for my 2025 year. This is the first podcast of the year, and we're going to be really zeroing in on what makes my work different and what have I brought that is fairly unique into the treatment centers and into recovery and mental health and hospitals and clinics over the last couple of decades. As a licensed doctor of Oriental medicine in Florida, an acupuncturist in Colorado and California, I've had the honor and pleasure of helping many people with this kind of approach. A spiritual approach that applies to also the mental, emotional, and physical aspects of disease. How does a writing prompt help with the physical, emotional, and mental aspects, much less the spiritual aspects of disease? Well, that's why we're going into this and why I've supplied a quick guide. And let's break it down in this way. So I'm going to be giving a little introduction to the shamanic rites. Second thing is what's going to make shamanic rites unique. Next thing, how the exercise is structured. Next, little step-by-step guidance. And then finally, this invitation to collaborate. Simply put, Shamanic Rites is a writing exercise designed to provide information, insight, and healing for specific topics of personal concern. Each exercise invites you to respond to a writing prompt performed from a shamanic perspective using basic core shamanic techniques. No prior experience is necessary. And there's no requirement to change your spiritual beliefs. So I first introduced this method during the reunions of my 3-year training from the shamanic, from the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. And I was introduced to it by my friend and colleague at the reunions, Beth Perkins. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Beth. Who does wonderful rites of passage, and I had a previous podcast with her. You can look that up in our conversation together. And once she stopped attending the reunions regularly, as she was a teacher for the foundation, I was able to pick up where she left off. Thanks for teaching me how to do it. And then also add in some really powerful components that I was shown, thrust into by Martin Pratel, and the work that he's done. And I was able to attend and receive some years back up in, I think it was Middlebury, Vermont, a wonderful community there with Martine's peoples. And then take that and introduce it and implement it at addiction treatment centers. Was part of the Masks of Addiction and soul cording rituals that I was able to do once a month. And it really, it being this writing component, writing down the bones as my partner from the Orchid Treatment Center was able to introduce me to art therapy, writing therapy, wonderful peoples there from the Orchid years ago. And it is different when we once again use our perspective and our beliefs to look at the distinctions when performing, looking at our work from a psychological point of view versus a spiritual point of view. And to look at the differences is a way to keep things clean and clear. Yin and yang, it's yes or no, no gray areas. Of course, it can also be looked at as the same. And how these differences could also be achieved from one and or the other, but it's first important to look at the differences. So, what makes shamanic rites different? And performing a writing prompt from a shamanic perspective, what makes it different than just doing a writing prompt? Well, it will absolutely give you a new perspective. It will give you a new way of experiencing where your writing comes from. And when you incorporate spirituality, it will give you a clear method for connecting to spirit and writing both from spirit to spirit. And then the third way we'll get to is writing as spirit, when we talk about merging. Let that sink in for a minute. Not only connecting with spirit, but writing from spirit to spirit, and then merging and writing as spirit. And this provides a different perspective and where your writing is coming from. Let's just leave it as that for now. I have lifted a quote from one of my previous posts. And what is a shaman? What is a shaman anyway? And you know, this word is so loaded these days, and it's one of the reasons why I've picked the name of my Substack as the Sober Shaman. It just causes a reaction one way or the other, and that is kind of, it's not kind of, why am I mincing words? It's what I do in facilitating conversation. In other words, when I used to lead groups in treatment centers, and now working with private clients, I do not tell you this is the way it should be and you have to and follow the rules, unless that is what is called for. I generally start from a position of, I don't know. Where are you at? Where are we at today? What's your belief structure like? How does this land with you? And words nowadays, labels, especially when it's applied to an identity, are so loaded and carry, it can carry baggage which just gets in the way. Addict, addiction, the word alcoholic, is it outdated? Does it mean anything anymore? It does to some people, it doesn't to others. There's a rejection. It causes in some people immediate community, and in other people it can cause immediate rejection. So that's why I picked the term shaman on purpose, because it will cause this kind of immediate reaction and gives us a place to clearly start. Why are you rejecting it? Why are you attracted to it? And let's parse the truth from the beliefs. So, that all said, here's the definition that I listed. A shaman is someone who's in relationship with spirits and can employ them on behalf of an individual or a community to help solve problems here in ordinary reality. The shaman engages with these spirits through the shamanic journey. I'm going to stop quoting here for a second and say this quote is lifted from my post, The Shamanic Journey in Addiction Recovery. So I'm going to inject here. The shaman engages with these spirits through the shamanic journey. Yes, it's through the journey, and it's through what the journey offers, which is a structure to enter into a shamanic state of consciousness. An altered state of consciousness. Is the journey the only way to do this? No. We can enter into, humans have been entering into altered states of consciousness in all different kinds of ways. We use just the drums. Of course, now psychedelics are coming back in style. There's breathing techniques, there's fasting techniques, there's wilderness isolation techniques, there's all kinds of techniques to do this. We do it in the shamanic rites, entering into a shamanic state of consciousness, this altered state of consciousness, using a steady, monotonous drumbeat. That's what I'll be using, because it facilitates a way to be able to enter into the consciousness of this altered state, and at the same time, building this muscle of being able to write at the same time. Back to the quote. This is a means of gathering information, knowledge, and power while in partnership with the spirits. The shaman then returns with these gifts to use for our benefit. So, in the shamanic rites exercise, we are returning. We are acting in that moment as writing. The writing is the gift. The writing is the gift. Back to the quote. Traditionally, the shaman was an essential component of society. Their role was to maintain a healthy relationship between the activities of a culture and the natural world around them. Gonna stop the quote, and I want to really stress this. So, the shaman's role was a part of society. It was an essential part of society to maintain the healthy relationship between the activities of a culture and the natural world around them. People and nature, culture and nature, these were not separate. They were in relationship, yin and yang. One cannot exist without the other. It could be said that nature could do just fine without us, but that would be different. So it's about relationship. Back to the quote. This interdependences in I'm sorry, this interdependence, an ongoing conversation, was considered a vital part of society's day-to-day endeavors and how it stayed healthy. And that's the end of the quote. So the shaman's role was to maintain this relationship between the society and the society's day-to-day endeavors and how it stayed healthy. It's an ongoing conversation. The youth are growing, the old are dying. In this cycle, as it goes on, it doesn't stay the same every day. Requires conversation, ongoing. This is vital for our health. So, in today's society, right, we've lost our connection to spirit. We've lost this conversation, this ongoing relationship. As a given, as a foundational part of our belief structure. As a matter of fact, I'd say that it's much more a foundational part of our daily structure to say it doesn't exist and that science and the mind and facts and the realm of ordinary reality has taken the place of this foundational belief in spirit and this conversation. So, because we've lost that, we've lost our ability to have this conversation that our senses to listen have been dulled. And regardless of how we come into this world, of how sensitive we are, and in addiction, many of the people who are in recovery, many of the people who suffer with all kinds of mental, emotional conditions, find themselves being too sensitive, and the shouting that comes out of screens and speakers in today's culture is a noise that is overwhelming. And in Chinese medicine, we say phlegm, clogging the orifices. Yeah. I kind of like that metaphor, right? What comes out of our screens can really be phlegm that's clogging our orifices to be able to more accurately have the sensitivities that are supposed to be aimed towards truth, spirit. What happens if you bring those two words together, truth and spirit? What is the truth of spirit? What is the spiritual truths for you? What is true about spirit for you that you know speaks to your heart, touches your soul, and resides in your bones? How do you deal with that knowing? Do you turn it off? Do you rely back to modern societies? Well, That's ridiculous. Spirits. Woo-woo. Turn that off. That's why we do these exercises. The shamanic rites. What happens when we turn it back on? That's what this exercise is all about. Test it out. See how it goes. I'm not telling you it's the right way. I'm telling you it's a possible way. Give it a try. You won't know until you do. Who knows what'll happen? Well, some things that can happen is you can write directly to the spirit. That'd be one thing I would say. And then again, writing from the spirit, writing as the spirit, when we learn how to merge. And again, these things are achieved through an altered state of consciousness. It's not, the shamanic state of consciousness is not an overwhelming possession. That's one of the clear distinctions that was really stressed in learning core shamanism through the foundation of shamanic studies with Michael Harner. Program that I went through and love is that, yes, I come from a background of addiction. So I know where going over the line is when I am out of control, when my participation with a substance, let's just call it, when the substance has overtaken me, and I am no longer Randy, this unique, authentic being. I'm not acting from my authenticity. I am acting from the predictable, boring ass cycle of addiction, repetition. What's going to happen next? I can tell you exactly what's going to happen next because it's the next phase in the cycle of addiction, and that's what's going down because I'm in active addiction. When we separate ourselves from active addiction and we start to reclaim our power, authenticity, uniqueness in recovery, we are at some advantage than a normie because we know where the line is because we've gone over it so many times. And we have the consequences and the scars to prove it down to our souls. So, in this work, when I say we're going to enter into an altered state of consciousness, we are not going into states that are going to be overwhelming, like active addiction was with whatever your drug of choice or drug or action of choice was. And it is not like psychedelics, which can be overwhelming. It can be hard to hit the brakes if you've taken a significant dosage, right? So this is not like that. This being the steady, monotonous drumbeat, it's not as heavy as that, so it's not as you can rely on it to do all the work as that. You must participate in it. You must show up. You must do the writing. You must have a clear intention, and you must be ready to receive and act upon the spirit of that prompt. So that's a clear distinction between being overwhelmed to describe the shamanic state of consciousness as we are using it here for the shamanic rites. It's not going to be something that's overwhelming. It's going to be something that you are always in control, and at the same time, you are surrendering an aspect of your will's control to come up with answers. That's the beauty. And that's one of the significant differences also between psychology, a psychological approach, and or a regular writing prompt approach, and a shamanic rites approach, which would be there is this muscle that is exercised that is simultaneously maintaining control. You're responsible for your side of the street, as they say in the recovery circles, right? You're responsible for setting up your drumming correctly, for having good earphones, or being quiet, to making a safe space, to having a great pen that you love and a place to write down on, and all of the little ordinary reality things that you are responsible for. And at the same time, you are responsible for surrendering the control of coming up with an answer and having trust in yourself to connect with truths you already know as spirit can help you from outside of yourself, as opposed to, I am writing from the truths within my bones. It's all about me. That would be the psychological. Whereas I am writing from the spiritual truths that reside in my bones. Where do they come from? How'd they get in my bones? How did spirit imbue these truths into me and my bone? It's a different, I'm not in control of everything, which would be, again, this idea of it's all in me, which can cause, it's an aspect of me. I realize that I'm making up and imagining these helping and compassionate spirits as part of me and my imagination, and it's all happening within this bubble of me. This is different than that. This is outside the bubble of me. Those helping and compassionate spirits know things I don't. And the only way that I can get information, knowledge, and power that's going to be new is if I go outside of the bubble of me. And so this is a spiritual approach to doing that. Are there other ways of doing it? Absolutely. This is one way of going outside of the bubble of me. It's all me, my, I, me, mine, to quote George Harrison. Outside of that, outside of me, and getting information, knowledge, and power that is coming from somewhere else, from spirit, from spirits that I am building relationship with, in relationship with, and strengthening a relationship, maintaining a relationship, establishing a relationship with, it's a different paradigm, perspective, and provides benefits that cannot be gotten if it's just me. Let's leave it at that for now. So let's go into how these exercises are structured. So it's going to be very simply, we're going to have a subject matter. Fear. I'm just making stuff up right now. Okay, fear. We're going to talk about fear from different perspectives, and we're going to start. Okay, fear is this big subject, right? So we're going to start narrowing it down and start really honing in on how it's manifesting in your life, and how do we craft an intention that will give you specific information, knowledge, and power that you can use and apply immediately for your situation. And bring that intention, that specificity to the prompt. And then you're going to receive the prompt, you're going to write the prompt, and then answer any questions or do any work that is after the prompt. It's as simple as that. The reason being why I want specifics is the more specific the question and the intention, the more specific your answer. Now, that's not to say you may have times in your life where you just don't have specifics and you're coming in with a big general question and you just need some general guidance. Of course, you can undertake the rites and the journey exercises with that intention. And you may even get very specific information and knowledge power back. But generally speaking, the more specific the intention, the more specific the question, the more specific the answer. So I will craft these prompts to be specific, so that they are intent, they are, it's my intention to deliver to you specific information, knowledge, and power as it applies to your particular situation in what's going on now with the subject matter we are diving into. So to go into the structure of what the shamanic rites entails as far as nuts and bolts, it's pretty straight ahead. You can just make sure you have your logistics set up. Make sure you got that safe space. Make sure you got a writing utensil. Make sure you got a place where you are not going to be interrupted while you are performing this. That if you like headphones, wear the headphones, be comfortable. You can lean back in a chair or lie down if you want to do it that way to get started, and then have a good sitting place where you're comfortable writing. Make sure you've got a clear intention of going into this subject matter, not necessarily again setting up for a clear answer back of again controlling the outcome. That's the difference. We want to have that ability to surrender to whatever information that comes in will be bigger than what you can imagine. We want to go bigger. We want to get to places that were not available to you before. And that's one of the beauties of having this surprise of writing to, from, as merged with spirit. So once you've got these logistics set up, boom, hit the button, receive the prompt, turn on the drums, put pen to paper. Let it rip. Just from that place of the shamanic state of consciousness as the drums are, you are riding the drums into this state of consciousness. You allow whatever comes out of your written hand to come out. There's no editing during this phase. You just let it rip and you keep going until the drums signal a callback. And you'll thank everything you've seen and done. You'll come back the way you've came and put your pen down, take a little breath. The exercise is over. Fully come out of that shamanic state of consciousness. Feel yourself back fully into your body, in your room. And then you can go over what you've written, or you can put it aside and come back to it later. If you want to make any little edits, by all means, you can. If that feels like the right thing to do. But I would say make sure you are not avoiding shaving off any of the experience that you received from the actual exercise itself. Make sure that's clear to you and that's coming through. And then, of course, if you want to share that with me, with the community here on Substack, you could leave it as, hey, this is what I got for this one, and get feedback that way. If you have writing groups, if you have drumming groups, if you have people, by all means, share it. And if it feels like it's just between you and spirit, or if there's even aspects that are just between you and spirit, you don't have to explain anything and or everything. And you just want to share what you've got and let it land with people as it does, so be it, or not, and keep it just between you and spirit. Sometimes it feels that way initially. Sometimes it feels important to share it initially. And sometimes it feels like it needs to incubate for a little while, whether to share or whether even for you, that, whoa, that was a lot of information. I'm not exactly sure what this means. It lands like ringing a bell of truth, but I gotta digest this a little bit. Let it sit, but keep revisiting it and see how that sitting is then becoming clearer. I would say don't let it sit in a corner. And that's one of the beauties of sharing, is that there is an accountability in being heard. There's an accountability in showing what our relationship to spirit, a spirit, is like to another, that can resonate with them as a similarity to what they've gotten, which can infuse courage for them to continue on their path, which sounds very similar to recovery, right? And also, the accountability in sharing, in say, when we say it out loud, and this is something that I just talked about with a client earlier today, is we are held in accountability to ourselves. When something is just within us, and even if we have a strong aspect of ourself that is able to observe We have an observing part of ourself that is able to see where a particular voice need is emanating from. We can see it as maybe from a role, if you like that term, if you as I use in the Alchemist Recovery Program, right? These roles that reside in the pericardium. Internal Family Systems uses this idea of a role as an aspect of ourselves. When we're able to call them out, it not only holds the observing part of ourself accountable, but it and strengthens it. But then there's a part of us that is observing us saying it. In the beginning, there was the word. There's something about. And I love talking with people who are have the brain as their foundation, right? There's a different aspect of the brain when we write it, when we handwrite something, which is another reason why I love shamanic rites, and when we say something. It lights up different parts of the brain. It lights up different aspects of ourselves. And we are then clearer. Ah, there's a part of me that is observing the part of me that is saying this part of me. Oh, how interesting. And I love that. So, how, if you share, and you just, if it feels like I should share, you probably should. And I would invite you to experience different ways of sharing and see how that experience lands with you. And for different pieces of writing, there's a good possibility that it will land differently. And or maybe it will reinforce what you've already had. I don't know. But I would invite you to try. And I think that's a good segue into wrapping up this particular episode of The Sober Shaman as a companion one for the Shamanic Rites Guide of how to do the shamanic rites exercise, and a wrap up with an invitation. And as we move forward with specific writing prompts, I am going to invite you to please share them. Share them on the platform of Substack. Share them with people. Maybe you have a writing group, writing circle. Maybe you have a drumming circle. Maybe you have an individual therapist. Maybe you have people you trust that you'd like to continue the power, information, and healing that you've received down other avenues to strengthen it within you, with outside of you, in relationship to the spirit that you are writing to, from, with. I also invite you to collaborate. And in this episode, I used the example of, the topic of fear, and what could that look like? Well, as a specific writing prompt, we have in the program the journeys. And one of my foundational journeys, I'm not letting any cats out of the bag for those of you that have done my program or doing the program, the journey to the Lake of Fear. The Lake of Fear, a journey. And it's been one of the most powerful fallback journeys I've used in centers with clients. for decades. And it just is a metaphor and a spiritual place of power that works. And the reason why I'm saying this now is this is an example of a journey that brings specific information to a client, to a journeyer, as it relates to your situation moving forward. And so that would be an example of a journey. But I would love to collaborate with writers who want to explore concepts, fear, anxiety, pain, depression, grief, fright, as we say in Chinese medicine, trauma, with a specific writing prompt from a spiritual perspective. If you have something, I'd love to feature it. If you would love to collaborate, now we have this new we can go live on Substack. We can look at it from as a guest on a podcast, whether it's mine or I go on yours. I'd love to do that. We have written interviews. We can go back and forth that way. So, as always, I love collaborating. For me personally, I love learning. It keeps me growing. It keeps it alive. It keeps my relationship with spirit. It holds me accountable. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And thanks for listening to this episode of The Sober Shaman going into the shamanic rites exercise. I look forward to working with hearing from your experiences this year in 2025. Until next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.